They say on your deathbed, you never wish you spent more time at the office. But I will. Gotta be a lot better than a deathbed.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, bi-week edition. Ethan, Nick, and Weiss here with you once again. Before we get into it, you know what we got to do. We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Daniel Jones out as the starter of the New York Giants after 6 years. Finally, it is here. It feels like it's taken so long that I can't even be happy about it, but we're here to record an episode. So how's everyone feeling after this momentous occasion?
This is my Super Bowl. I'm hanging a banner. I've been looking
forward to this. Beat the Daniel Jones allegations.
I've been looking forward to this day for a long time.
But in all seriousness, because you're talking about hanging banners, it is truly unprecedented.
Of course. That's why I'm hanging a banner.
The rope. The Daniel Jones had. Oh, yeah. Well, we're never going to see this again.
No. Never.
We might see it with Trevor Lawrence, but
he already got the contract, though. And the 5th-year option, you know, there was deliberation about Trevor Lawrence. There wasn't really a conversation. It happened.
But regardless,
also, Trevor Lawrence was a highly touted quarterback. Daniel Jones was not. That's another whole element to this.
That's true.
Thing.
Yeah,
McShay was on First Take. That's my lasting memory of the draft and the draft coverage was Todd McShay on First Take the next morning saying Daniel Jones is a backup quarterback. He's a decent athlete. He's got no anticipation. He struggles to throw with timing. I mean, the reactions on draft night were valid. You know, every now and then the fan base is wrong, but this is as obvious as it was going to be. You know, he's a 0-star high school recruit. Mm-hmm. Didn't play amazingly well in college. They took David Cutcliffe's word a little too seriously, and 7 years of our lives we're not getting back now.
Pretty much, maybe more. We'll see how lasting the damage is.
One of the most wild moments from the Daniel Jones era, and I haven't seen this. People talk about this on Twitter. I guess it's. I remember on draft night when they drafted him, and you know the Giants are doing a lot of damage control. Because if you guys remember, Dave Gettleman had a very bad press conference after that pick. What's his name? David Cutcliffe was doing a lot of interviews on ESPN trying to like justify how this is such a great pick. It was like, wait, this guy doesn't even work for the Giants. Why is he doing it? Like, what is this? But, you know, Daniel Jones was... I never blamed Dave Gettleman for taking a swing on a quarterback. You never blame, you know, they needed a quarterback. But they took a swing on Daniel Jones for all the wrong reasons. It had nothing to do with the on-field stuff. It was because he reminded them of Eli Manning. And he was coached
pretty much goofy white guy, same coach. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
And ever from the moment he was drafted to today at 8:00 in the morning, every single thing that they did just further illustrated how badly that pick screwed up this franchise.
I mean, again, like Nick ended his little monologue-ish rant with, you know, 7 years of our lives, we're never getting back. I mean, again, I tweeted this the other day. I distinctly remember the bar I was at, where I was when they picked Daniel Jones. I remember arguing with these old dudes at the bar about how, oh, this kid's going to be the next Eli, and me just putting my head in my hands and just, you know, not, you know, I remember where I was when they drafted him. I remember where I was during that Bucks game. I was on the Upper East Side with my father, who's no longer with us, my father-in-law. I wasn't married yet. And now he's finally benched. I've got a child. I live in the suburbs and I'm sitting on my couch at 8 a.m. just like you know, it's like that the Bill Burr skit about having kids when you finally just come out of the bubble when they leave the house. For me, that's what like the Daniel Jones era was. Like, I'm finally coming out and it's just, wow, I used to live in the city and do fun things and now I'm a father and I'm sitting in the suburbs. Like, that is literally just how long of a fucking time period the Daniel Jones era was, and there was no need for that.
It took years off my life, I think. I think I would, before 2019. I think before 2019.
I mean, it certainly killed some brain cells for me.
Yeah, I think I was projected to live until I'm like 100, but now it's like 75, 80. I'm lucky.
That's lofty, but okay.
Yeah. It was tough. That's why I'm so happy that it's over. And I'm so happy that they ripped the Band-Aid off. It's not like, oh, we're going to make Daniel the quarterback too, and we're not giving up on him. And like, you know, we're still.
Let's not give him too much credit here. They're following the script. They're following the Russell Wilson. Following the script.
I'm not giving him credit. What I'm saying is that it would have been right on par for them to come out and say, we're not giving up on Daniel. You know, we still believe in him. You know, we're going to make him our backup. Don't write his, what was that?
He's competing in practice. He might be able to get the job back. Shit like that.
What was the John Mara comment after they hired Shane and Dable? He said something like, don't write his obituary yet or something like that. Like I wouldn't have been surprised for that, but I'm just happy that the Band-Aid has been torn off. I don't care about giving anybody credit. I'm just happy it's over. And we can turn the page and we can kind of enter that world where we're like, you know, even though we've been in that world, but we're like, okay, there needs to be a new quarterback. There's no more, you know, half-ass approach here. Like this is it.
Right.
And I'm very happy about that.
I think that there's a lot to be discussed yet amongst the three of us over not necessarily the decision at this point to start Tommy DeVito over Drew Lock, but maybe the Drew Lock choice as a whole instead. I think that there is probably a lot of meaningful dialogue to be had about that because I have many problems with it.
I've talked about this all off season. I said it,
of course, you know, but now that it's official that he's not even,
yeah, they
he's
fucked not, up.
Yeah. Big time
on two different levels. They fucked
up. I would argue three, but let's hear it, Nick.
Oh, I was going to say, number one, they brought in a guy who didn't have a real chance of beating the starter, which we've established is bad practice. If you don't have an entrenched starting quarterback and you have an opportunity to get a real backup like Russ or Fields and push him for the job, in spite of the money you sank, you have to do that. You know, with Justin Fields or Russ, they probably have 4 or 5 wins. They're probably alive in the wild card mix if they have passable quarterback play right now. And then on the second level, if you botch the eval so badly that him missing training camp is the difference between him and an undrafted free agent, you messed up really bad on your evaluation.
Bingo, Nick. Bingo. And I'll go one further because it's exactly where I want it to go. It's either you botched that evaluation so badly or you're flat out just not a good coach. Because if you mean to tell me that you were able to scheme and win, and again, I understand, like, what the defense had, like, 12 takeaways in 3 or 4 games. There was a lot of fluky shit. But the fact of the matter was, they were competitive in games with Tyrod Taylor and Tommy DeVito, undrafted free agent, rookie. And you were able to scheme up something passable with that last year, but you can't do it with Drew Lock because the poor guy missed a little bit of training camp, even though he was a second-round draft pick out of an SEC school. And like, again, he had plenty of starter reps, more so than Tommy DeVito did. You couldn't scheme anything around it. I have a problem with that. And we'll get into the overall takes on Shane and Dable, but the overarching theme that I'm getting here from draft class number one, from draft class number two that we've touched on, and the quarterback evaluation so far throughout their tenure, I don't blame anyone, and I think I'm sort of in this boat right now, for being skeptical on letting Joe Shane and his organization, or his regime rather, go out and find the future quarterback for this franchise. You don't pick up the 5th-year option, then you give the guy a horrible contract. You don't bring anyone in who can compete with him. And the only feather in your cap is that you probably at this point got incredibly lucky finding the unicorn of the NFL in Josh Allen. Am I missing something here? I'm supposed to trust these guys with finding the next franchise quarterback in what is admittedly a weak class.
This isn't
about again. It's why I'm still very much on board the narrative. I'd rather a solidified dude.
This isn't about finding a franchise quarterback. That's a very short-sighted take. You have to look at it. Look, I've said this over and over again. I hate to repeat myself. You guys know that. Guys, they ended the Daniel Jones era in February. Okay? Like,
we're aware.
They ended it. So they were in the same boat as, like, Minnesota, right? Atlanta, you know, those teams.
I wouldn't say Atlanta. They spent.
No, they weren't, because those rosters were ready to compete.
No,
they went out and they got stopgaps.
No, you're not listening to what I'm saying. They were in that. They were in that same situation. Just because they didn't take the approach that Minnesota and Atlanta did, that doesn't mean they were not in the same boat. They turned the page on the Daniel Jones era. They, because of the business side of it, they couldn't cut him. He wasn't a free agent like Kirk Cousins. There wasn't a lot of money tied to him like Desmond Ridder. They turned the page. That's what makes this such an organizational failure, is because they did do the same thing Atlanta and Minnesota did. The difference was they tried to pretend like none of it happened and said, no. Our plan was always to give Daniel Jones 2 years. You guys sit here and talk about Russ. They should have went out and paid $10 million to get Sam Darnold. They should have went out and, yeah, flirted with the idea of spending higher money on another veteran quarterback. It's not just, oh, Russ was in the building. Why did you sign Russ? Oh, why did you ruin the bridge with Tyrod Taylor? It should have been aggressively pursuing that stopgap quarterback, because there was nothing worse than what they did. Nothing. There was no option that was worse than what they just did right now. And if you want to talk about firing them and lack of trust, that's where the lack of trust comes in.
We're saying two completely different things, and I agree with you.
I could get past the paying the quarterback. I can get past some of the bad draft picks. This is something I will never get over. And yeah, the trust in them finding, it's not the fact that I don't trust their judgment or their evaluation on the quarterbacks. It's
why wouldn't that, why? No, let's revisit that. Why?
Sure. Because there were moments in the offseason where, like, they liked Jaden Daniels.
That's great. Dave Gettleman loved Justin Herbert. Ben McAdoo loved Patrick Mahomes. All these what ifs in Giants history, it doesn't make you a good talent evaluator. Sometimes it's just obvious.
Absolutely, you're right. But they were also brought in for that. They were brought in to find the next quarterback. Now, again,
this is my point. That's my point. They were brought in to find the guy. And again, this we agree, Weiss. We agree. I think you think we disagree. We agree. They were brought in to find the franchise quarterback. And not only did they not do that, but they did every single thing wrong every step of the way since day one.
Dave Gettleman had the opportunity to draft Justin Herbert a year later, just like Arizona did with Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray. He didn't do that. These guys haven't had the opportunity. Listen, this is not a defense of Joe Shane and Brian Daboll.
I don't see how that's relevant, but okay.
It doesn't matter who the general manager was. Daniel Jones was getting paid. His camp knew the ownership wasn't going to let them part ways. They had the whole Saquon Barkley thing hanging over him. That's why I'm willing to bypass all that. That's why the crazy thing is, I was fine with them not taking a quarterback, and I still am fine with them not taking
same.
A quarterback.
Same, so am I. I think that's probably year, right? The only good judgment call they've made at the position was not taking one of these guys who was after the first three.
But I can never get over what they did with everything else in terms of quarterback. They threw a season away. And don't tell me, well, who cares? They went out and traded for Brian Burns. They went out and paid some guys in free agency. And then they just threw the season away. I will never understand it. It was never the right call. I've said it since April. The moment that they didn't draft a quarterback, I came on the draft night and I said, fine, you didn't like any of these quarterbacks, fine. I wish you would have done more. I said it in the summer. I got people that invited me onto their podcasts. I said it there. I said, I wouldn't even play Daniel Jones. I said, this thing is over. This is a disaster. And you know what? Yeah, there was tension in the building between Daniel Jones and the coaching staff. And obviously there would be, whether it's Daniel Jones deserves to have animosity toward the team or not. They tried to replace him and they filmed it. So like it just, it boggles my mind how the argument is like, it's completely away from what it should be. And that is the the roster construction, starting with the quarterback and how they handle that quarterback position. And yeah, you know, if it costs them their job, so be it. I'm not going to sit here and call for people to be fired. I'm not there yet. Okay, fine. Maybe I'm late to the party. Cool. But I'm just not there yet. But man, like if they fire them,
Yeah, you're like me. You don't care.
They haven't done anything to convince you that they strongly convinced you that they deserve to stay. I would agree with you completely. They haven't.
I can't defend these guys, right? I can't. I still believe that.
And again, I'm guilty of this. I'm very guilty of this.
A part of me still believes they know how to develop quarterbacks. They know how to locate a quarterback.
I mean, listen, just because Joe Shane is not a fat slob with a thick New England accent doesn't mean that he's done a good job.
No, I'm not saying he's done a good job. All I'm saying is that
I'm talking about me. I'm saying I'm guilty of maybe overlooking a lot of the flaws or assuming that a lot of the moves were good, even though they were just common sense moves that any regular ass GM is going to make.
So I don't have any, I'm not in the whole, no, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors. How they like, who likes what, who does what, how much was Joe Shane involved? We just have what's available to us. And, you know, people that that cover the Bills tell me, yeah, like Joe Shane was a big part of the Josh Allen thing. Brian Daboll was a big part of the development thing. I saw the Hard Knocks here. A part of me, and again, maybe I'm wrong, right? Maybe it's this blind faith. And guess what? A lot of my fandom with the Giants has been blind faith, right? But a part of me is like, yeah, I'd rather gamble on them taking a swing at a quarterback than to just fire them and say, like, and go somewhere else.
Because you got to start entirely over again. That's the thing.
I don't trust this owner like that. Like, I don't.
And on top of that, you've talked about this a lot, Weiss. They've spent the last 3 years replacing a lot of the front office. So you're going to tell me we're going to bring in a new general manager who's going to fire all of those people that Shane's recruited over the last 3 years?
And here's the thing, Nick.
And change the infrastructure?
And by year three of that GM, if his first, you know, draft class sucks, which is probably going to be a lot of Joe Shane's people, guess what? You're fired, buddy, regardless what happens. Like, you can't keep doing this, right? Listen,
I don't buy any of that argument,
Ethan.
From the infrastructure perspective, though, like if you just overhauled your entire scouting, your pro personnel, your developmental people because Shane wanted his guys in place, you fire Shane and Dable, but you leave all of their administrative people in place until a new GM comes in, and then you have to overhaul all of that.
Okay, again. Listen, I understand the logistical nightmare portion of it, but like, was Joe Shane just jerking off and playing video games in Buffalo? Like, was the guy just not scouting, not doing any scout work?
He wasn't like...
You can't say that.
He was doing scout work. So listen, he misses egregiously on the first draft class. It's on him. And then you're telling me, okay, fine, give the guy a full offseason to bring in his guys and his staff. And then he misses on almost his entire second draft class. Like,
I think you're writing the obituary too quickly on...
I'm not. Again, if they believe in this guy, they want to give him, because by all means, the Giants are going to have a top five pick. Yeah. If they want to give this guy a shot to pick his quarterback, fine. But they better be ready to move the fuck on if he's not it.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask two questions, right? Number one, do you think that Joe Shane...
This is your attempt at gotcha journalism. Go ahead.
No, it's not. No. I really want to know this, right?
Okay.
Because we've talked about this off air a lot. Do you think that Joe Shane's opinion on Daniel Jones has changed, or not opinion, confidence level in Daniel Jones has changed a lot from February to November?
Yeah, probably.
Do you think that in February he believed that Daniel Jones was a long-term answer at quarterback?
No,
but I don't think
they were trying to draft.
Yeah,
someone.
We know that they were trying to move on. Hold on. No one.
It was an arranged marriage. There was nothing they could do once they didn't get a guy they wanted.
But no. But Weiss's point is, it's the difference between, is he the long-term answer or holy shit, we didn't even know it could get this bad. And I think that it was holy shit, we didn't even know it could get this bad. I think they genuinely believed, like, okay, we know that he's not a franchise quarterback, but like, can the guy get us 5 wins, 6 wins, and like enough so that we can sort of keep our jobs and just, I mean, look at the chatter right now. Like, there are like rumblings like, Dable may survive, or Shane is safe, or don't listen to Mara. Mara is a liar. We've seen him do this whole thing before. Like, we're talking about job security right now. These guys did not truly believe that it could get this bad. Because
you don't think that if they thought it could get this bad, that see, I think that
if they truly believed it could have gotten this bad, Russell Wilson was allowed to compete for the starting job.
Yeah.
They totally misevaluated.
Because this is the worst Jones has played. Like, I don't think that's an exaggeration. I don't think that's this is as bad as his process has ever been in the NFL. You know, the best he's looked was as a rookie, where it was a lot of improvisational stuff. It was a lot of deep balls. It was a lot of just
fearless
happen. And ever since the injuries, he has been skittish. He has taken a lot of sacks. He's turned the ball over a fuck ton. He does not look like
more turnovers and touchdowns as starting quarterback. Like,
yeah, I mean, the only quarterbacks this year, definitively worse than him, already got benched in and Watson was injured, but Watson was the only guy who was definitively worse than him this year.
Bryce Young
at least has had two good. Yeah. He was, but he at least has been decent since getting benched.
Bryce Young's basically still a rookie. I mean, the guy.
Yeah, I'm more inclined
terrible situations. Yeah. I know what you mean, Nick.
Yeah. That's the thing, man. Because at a certain point, I agree with you. Because if they thought it could get this bad, you'd be a dumbass to come into the season if you were like, well, we might win three games, but we're okay with that. Like, you got to have some real irrational confidence to think that, based on what you've done the last 3 years, that's good enough. Because frankly, it's not. And we are sitting here in the middle of November with six games to go, and still have to decide if we're keeping them or not, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're talking about Dable getting fired if things go from bad to worse. Like, find me a win.
History has said they'll find wins.
Oh, no, they will. They're not going to finish with two wins. They're not that bad.
And the thing is, if you finish with two,
they're not beating the Bucks.
No.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Baker Mayfield rubbing one in, that'd be good.
Bro, Baker Mayfield is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL this year.
All right.
And they're also off a bye, and they're getting healthy. Mike Evans is coming back.
And I think
maybe they beat the Cowboys in the Thanksgiving Toilet Bowl. And then, I mean, I don't know, Saints, because they're not beating the Ravens, they're not beating the Falcons. They're probably not beating the Colts, and they're not beating the Eagles unless even if the Eagles are resting everyone, I can't imagine that they are even competitive.
There's three games that they could potentially win.
Cowboys, Saints, and Eagles if they're benching guys.
They could beat the Colts.
They could beat the Colts.
Rodgers looked like ash yesterday, and the Jets almost beat the Colts.
Yeah.
It took two missed field goals for the Jets to lose that game, too.
Yeah, they could beat the Colts. I mean, they
could beat the Colts. The Colts are
that good. Colts game's important. That Colts game's important.
Yes, very much so. That's a toilet bowl game. That
could also be a Saturday standalone game too.
Oh no! So you both missed it. It's Brian Dable's opportunity to scout Anthony Richardson in person.
Oh yeah. Although I the Colts, I mean, that's another team that I don't know. I mean, that's where I am with Shane and Dable, guys. I'd rather live with the gamble. And the thing
I'm
is,
I'm frustrated and I don't care. They keep them fine. They get rid of them.
This is what I'm going to say. Picking the wrong quarterback doesn't set your franchise back. It's 5 years or 6 years. Like
no.
It's the NFL, man. You can flip the script in a year, 2 years.
Look at Houston.
Let's play your hypothetical game, Ethan, because I know you've said this. You're going to let these guys that are on the hot seat draft a quarterback. Let's say they draft a quarterback, right? And next year we're sitting here and they're 2-8, 9, whatever.
Yep.
Right. And everyone gets fired, right? And a new GM comes in. I don't think whoever that rookie quarterback is gonna stop that new GM or head coach, whatever, from drafting another quarterback.
Certainly not if Cooper Manning's staring him in the face.
Exactly. So
Archie Manning.
So listen.
Oh, sorry.
Arch Manning, yeah.
Arch.
Yeah.
I keep calling him Cooper.
Yeah, I don't know why you call him Cooper Manning. He's Cooper Manning's son, right, Nick?
Yeah, spawn of Cooper. He's spawn of Cooper.
Yeah. Arch the second.
Nothing sets you back 6 years except for bad management.
Yes.
And doubling down on your mistakes.
Because, like, objectively, and we've said this a lot this year, this roster is not this bad. It's not.
No, it's not.
It's not this bad.
Don't tell that to Ethan, though, because he does think this roster is that bad.
They're not too
bad. No, I don't think the roster is that bad. I think Joe Shane's drafting has been terrible.
That's
the roster
fair.
Itself is not bad.
No, the roster has enough talent where they should have won at least two more of the games they've lost, which two, it doesn't really matter, but they definitely are better than they've played. And the quarterback has made them entirely non-functional, and that's on them.
And this media-driven narrative that, oh my God, they're not going to bench Daniel Jones because now the Bull... Like, honest question, guys.
It used to be believable.
Is when people talk about, oh man, you can't, you know, you got to get the right guy who's fit for, you know, this New York tough media. Like, it feels like the Giants are always like a year behind everything. Right. Yes. In terms of like decision making, it feels like the media is the same way. Like the shit that they're now talking about how, oh, now it's on Brian Daboll. Like, I feel like the fan base, generally speaking, was doing that a month ago.
Yeah.
So I think they benched Daniel Jones because financially they're 3-13.
John Mara heard Lewis Riddick talk about it on Monday Night Football. Is that why we're benching Daniel Jones?
Like, I don't think like there's a big conspiracy theory here. We've seen this type of stuff happen all the time. What are the two guys you brought up, Ethan? Russell Wilson and Derek Carr. Yeah, Justin Fields.
Derek Carr.
The two guys.
Oh, you're talking about the guarantees.
Yeah. The guarantees. Yeah.
This shit happens in the NFL. So we've been talking about Brian Daboll's offense struggling for the past month, 2 months. So I don't, there's no conspiracy theory here, right? It's not there. They benched him because he was bad and they couldn't bench him because they didn't have confidence in the backup quarterback.
Just go get me Stafford, man. This is crazy.
How about Joe Burrow, man? That's
yeah, but
our defense is bad too.
Yeah, not that bad. And Zach Taylor's never been a good coach. Sorry to say.
Oh no, he's
you
not.
Do you guys put this on Zach Taylor? I think they're who's running there? Who's their GM? Don't they have the owner is basically the GM, and then they have like player personnel people? Is that how it works with them?
Yeah,
too?
The Brown family. Yeah,
their defense is very old.
Yeah,
they still have guys from that Super Bowl team, and then they missed on a lot of draft picks too.
And then they reinvested all their money in offensive linemen, Burrow's extension, and they got to pay Jamar Chase. So.
Yeah,
eventually
he's not going to let him go. Joe Burrow's a hostage.
And aren't they paying T. Higgins like $18 million this year on the franchise tag?
Something like that.
Whatever the franchise tag is, that's what
they're going to have to trade him anyway. But
well, he's going to be gone in free agency.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. Yeah. That's what'll end up happening. Look, all it takes is one disgruntled quarterback. Who it's going to be, I don't know yet. But all it takes is one, and hopefully we have better infrastructure than the other team that plays in New Jersey because. You see what happens when you let the quarterback take the team hostage. And I don't think the Giants would let them do that. But in terms of like bringing in Stafford and then like Stafford being annoying about it or what have you, like what happened when Carson Palmer went to the Raiders where he dragged his feet and was miserable about it. Stop trying.
Let me give you guys two scenarios, right?
Okay.
Oh boy.
Draft aside for a second, right?
Okay.
Hey, Sam Darnold. $20 million a year for
he's getting years. More than that.
$25 million a year for 3 years.
He's probably getting 30, Weiss. I hate to tell you.
All right. Pay Sam Darnold $30 million a year for 2 years or trade up in the draft for
I don't like anyone enough to burn assets to trade up. I'm still not wholly convinced on any of them all that much. I'd probably roll the dice
stink.
On
they all stink.
I'd roll the dice on one
really,
of the stop.
You really think Shador Sanders stinks?
I don't know
if he stinks, but like he doesn't have any elite physical traits.
Yeah. He's a great pocket passer.
That's amazing.
That's not a trait, though. He doesn't have great arm talent. He's not
exceptionally big. Yeah. He doesn't throw the ball hard. Everything's like lofted. He's got great timing. He's not fast. He's not big. What are we doing here? Like it really is. It's very, very frustrating because we're coming off. I didn't even hear what you said, Weiss. I'm not even going to ask you what you said until I'm done yelling.
He's a coach's son.
Yeah, he's a coach's son. But besides that, I don't even care about that. We have fallen so far as a fan base that, like, I'm dead serious. Like,
tell him, Bunk.
We goddamn how far we've fallen. Look at last year's class. Like, Caleb Williams had elite arm talent. Physically, not as elite as Drake May and Jaden Daniels, but he had elite arm talent. The other two had elite arm talent and were physically elite. There is not a single prospect in this class that has the physical traits or the arm talent that any of the top three guys last year did. It's just true. What about Like Cam Ward piecing up ACC teams with like the every single transfer portal darling at 6'2", running a 5'5", 40, taking 15 fucking seconds in the pocket every time, or Shador Sanders, like, I can't.
Listen, the pick Shador threw on the first play of that game was horrendous.
Oh my God, it was so bad, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I really am.
What about Jalen Milroe?
Jalen Milroe is a running back. He's
Anthony Richardson without the arm talent.
Bro, he's not. He's 6'1".
He's not a good passer. He's a good athlete.
You're literally praying that he turns out to be Mike Vick.
You could Jalen Hurts him.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are saying is he's Jalen Hurts.
How tall is Jalen Hurts? 6'3"?
Hurts is bigger. He's taller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quinn,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My ceiling for a top five pick is not Jalen Hurts. Like, what are we doing?
Hey, man, I'd take Jalen Hurts over a lot of these choices.
Oh, no, he's Nick, don't great, do but... that shit. Stop. That's what everyone in this fan base is doing. Oh, it's better than watching Daniel Jones every year. Yeah, okay. I don't want to have to think about quarterback for 15 years.
Outside,
but that doesn't happen.
No, outside
it's happened sometimes. You're telling me if the Giants had Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes.
There's no chance if they drafted Josh Allen, he would have worked out. There's zero chance if Josh Allen.
Okay, but I'm just, whatever, dude. Just humor me. Like, there are.
Not if they would have hired Brian Daboll.
Sure. Remember, can I not think about quarterback for 9 years?
No, you're going to think about
quarterback every year. I think the average NFL quarterback window is like 4 or 5 years. I think that's a realistic period of time to not have to worry about the position. Anything more than that, and you got one of the franchise guys, and you don't let that guy go. You have them their entire career. So I agree with you, Weiss. I agree. I agree with both of you. I would like a medium-term stopgap quarterback. I would.
No, I'm not paying Sam Darnold $30 million.
Trade for Anthony Richardson or pay Sam
Darnold? I would trade for Anthony Richardson if the Colts were willing to do it.
What was the or?
Sam Darnold.
Rich.
Richardson, yeah. I would trade for Bryce Young. I would trade for...
Oh, we just spent a half hour telling me small quarterbacks, and now you want to trade for Bryce Young?
I would trade... For what he's going to cost, like a third-round pick, as opposed to a top-five pick on a quarterback, yes. That's better cost value. That's better cost, you know. You get a third-round pick, and he's a medium-term, like, right-handed Tua, that's fine. You got to build more of the team around him, but I'm more inclined to believe in that than... burning a top 10 pick on Cam Ward or Quinn Ewers.
I'm not giving up a third for him. I'll give up a sixth.
You probably have to give up a third or a fourth if I had to guess. A third or a fourth.
Then he's stuck.
He probably is. They'll probably give him one more year.
Historically speaking, every time they say it's a horrible draft class, there's always a surprise.
There'll be one guy. There always is one guy.
There's going to be like 15 quarterbacks drafted. Like, it's a very deep class. They're just not good. Like, statistically, one of them is going to develop and turn out to be good.
Yeah. Whether in
over 1.5 franchise gets to a second contract,
I'd say over 1.5 because there will be a stupid team. But I'd say two.
When I mean get to a second contract, I mean like
the big extension.
Yeah, exactly.
The Trevor Lawrence extension. Yeah. I got you. Yeah, probably over 1.5 just because the way.
Ethan, Trevor Lawrence, pray for Trevor Lawrence or Sam Darnold, $30 million a year.
Sam Darnold.
Nah, Trevor Lawrence is good.
You really?
No, he's not. Are you serious?
I still think Trevor Lawrence is good. I do.
I'm with Nick. I still like Trevor Lawrence too.
I can't believe Doug didn't get fired. I mean, 52-6.
I'm sorry. It's just absolutely crazy that I've been screaming about how this guy's a bust for 2+ years. And I was right. And you guys just still won't admit it. You're like, he's good.
Can I float
actually,
one
he's
more?
Fine.
Can I float sure. one more by
Actually, it's everyone else's fault. Yeah, go ahead, Weiss.
Aaron Rodgers.
I hate that smirk. No. Yeah, I knew it. No.
I'm good.
The best quarterback I've ever seen in my lifetime, but he is now a terrorist.
He's washed.
Letting him just ruin my team even more than it's ruined.
He has nothing, and he can't move at all, and he refuses to stand in the pocket. He's beyond washed.
Kirk Cousins.
You know how bad he is?
He
tanked Breece's fantasy value.
Yeah.
Just insane. Breece was crushing it last year.
You don't think we can be Aaron Rodgers' Minnesota Vikings like Brett Favre?
No.
Favre was injured. Rodgers is just kind of cheeks. Favre was playing with the torn rotator cuff for the final seven.
You know, they say it takes a year to recover from an Achilles injury.
He's going to be 41 and he's going to spend the entire offseason smoking crack. That tweet is all time. Mahomes won a Super Bowl on one leg, high as shit on painkillers, and Aaron Rodgers was in a hut smoking crack in the dark.
Yep.
And the crack told him to play for the Jets.
Well, there is hope for the Jets with Woody Johnson going back overseas.
Hey, man, there's hope for Jordan. I saw actual fans tweeting, can we get a Jordan Travis start before the end of the season? So it could always be worse. It could always be worse.
Geez, I mean, what other options are there?
I'll tell you, I have Spotrac pulled up. You could do, these are free agents. So you could do Russ, you could do Garoppolo.
No,
Jacoby Brissett, Carson Wentz, Winston, Nick Mullins, Mason Rudolph.
Winston I could do, but Nick Mullins, you're going two down the list now.
Sam Ellinger, Fields, Trey Lance.
I mean, sure, let's do Russell Wilson for a year.
Russell Wilson for 2 years is better than...
We're always a year late anyway, so we might as well...
He'll be asked next year when he's a Giant, but...
Yeah.
You know, I think...
In 2026, outside of Arch Manning, who's the... Because I keep hearing that I was such a great quarterback class. Who's the other quarterbacks that are
projected? Triola. Who's the kid from SC that everyone's talking about?
Oh.
No,
the guy they recruited, he's just not playing this year. He'll start next year. I know who you're talking about. Okay, I can't think of his name.
No, I thought he was
a guy playing. That can't start for USC this year.
South Carolina, I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah. He's interesting. Look, the Walmart Mahomes is interesting as a concept.
That's where Iola. But I can't draft. No, just
it was just Arch Manning.
It's cringe, bro.
He's very cringe.
It's cringe. Who's the
his girlfriend even kind of looks like Mahomes' wife, which is even weirder.
So does his brother. Have you seen his brother?
Yes, Raiola's brother does look like Mahomes' brother. It's very weird.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's
very weird.
This is like interdimensional cable, but for quarterbacks. Bizarro world Mahomes.
They say we all have one twin in the world, right? Like there's someone that looks exactly like us.
Yeah.
I mean, Dylan Raiola, Patrick Mahomes. I'm just saying.
Lenore Sellers is who I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah. He's interesting. It's going to be rough when all the quarterbacks get taken 1, 2, 3 again and the Giants have to take Travis Hunter. But,
well, according to Ethan, they're not winning another game. So they'll be in the right position to take a swing at a quarterback.
I can't believe I'm driving to MetLife in 6 days to watch Tommy DeVito.
Oh, my God.
You should give those to charity.
You know, I sat next
charity
to
Tommy DeVito. Charity won't want them.
I sat next to Tommy DeVito's dad in training camp. Well, actually, he was one row ahead of me.
I'm serious, Nick. What's worse than giving a Make-A-Wish kid tickets to see Tommy DeVito?
Maybe he'll be from New Jersey. Maybe it'll be a dream come true.
My God.
It's like the old school Facebook meme.
I give those tickets to someone, they're going to wind up in hospice the next day.
I left two Giant tickets on the window. Someone broke into my car and left three more.
But don't.
All right, hey
man. Facebook jokes are funny.
Are we wrapping up?
Mercifully.
All right.
Oh, before we go, favorite Daniel Jones moment. Go.
Favorite Daniel Jones moment. Are you looking for, like, what kind of answer are you looking for here?
I don't know.
Like, man. Seriously? Probably the Tampa Bay game he comes into and they come back and win the game.
Yeah. The Tampa Bay game.
Or Minnesota. Those are really the only two options.
Today. My favorite moment's the last one.
The Minnesota one was awesome.
You were there.
Yeah. I cut a promo with a license plate guy saying to pay Daniel Jones's money.
We'll try to scrub that from the internet.
I think it's still up there. I don't know.
Oh well. All right. Well, we'll talk to everyone after the Bucks game. Adios.
Peace.